Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we are, well, hopefully we'll get to our topic, talking about bitter enemies and taking calls for readings. Call a number 914-338-0164, and please do press 1 if you'd like to speak to us, callers, so we know that you want a reading. Our pages, we would love, if you liked or followed us. Neil and Kristen Baker is our personal page. And really, it isn't our personal page because basically we post things about the show. But anyway, you can follow us there as well as Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Those are the pages, and we would love it if you followed us. And we have a caller from 860. Hi.
Wow, thank you so much. Hi.
Hi, who's this, please?
Excuse me?
What's your name?
My name is Lisa.
And I have an echo, Lisa. I don't know, do you have a radio on or the computer on with our voice back? Yeah, I do.
I don't. Is that better?
Yeah, whatever you did is better.
Okay.
That's better. Okay. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
No, I didn't. Did you hear me?
Still no good.
Oh, you have a speakerphone?
No, I don't. I have the phone up to my ear.
Okay, well, we'll just try to manage. I'm hearing myself back, and that might be a little bit difficult when we get into a reading. But where are you calling from?
Connecticut.
Okay. And what's your birth date, Lisa?
January 26, 1959.
Okay. Lisa, haven't you called our show a long time ago?
Very long time ago, yes. Years.
1914. Right, I remember you. I remember you. Lisa from Connecticut. You have dark hair. I think you were on our Facebook but left for some reason or another. What's your question today?
I shut down my account periodically. I don't unfriend anybody.
Oh, what's going on in the last few years since we've spoken with you?
Oh, my life's become more unhappy, and I'm hoping maybe I just had my 60th birthday that God is going to have mercy on me and give me some goodness.
Isn't there something with a child with you, a son?
Well, your memory is amazing. My only child, yes. I haven't seen my son in almost 6 years.
That's interesting because that's your master number. Let's see. So you're 60 years old, and in fact, you just began your 10th cycle of your master number 6. So that is significant that it's been that duration of time since you've seen him, and it's actually on a cycle of your master number.
She's gone through 10 cycles.
Right. 10 cycles of her master number. So, and that's probably why you're calling us.
Okay.
Is that why? Do you want to talk about your son, or do you want to?
Whatever you can tell me, that something good. I just need something good.
Oh, okay. What's your son's birth date, Lisa?
8/25/84.
Five. 37 and 1, he's compounded. Well, it's interesting that it's her 10th cycle of her master number, which involves his part of his karmic reduction, the 10.
Lisa, I'm going to ask you a few odd questions, so don't worry about whether they feel important to you or not. Just respond the best way you can.
Okay.
What does candy mean to you? Like a box of candy, getting a box of candy, you know, in your history or in your life. What has candy meant to you?
My grandmother was a candy maker, so I have good memories around that.
Okay. So your grandmother, and right before you, when you were talking about your life being all messed up, I'm going to tell you the truth. Based on the validation of the candy, I felt that there was a grandmother issue going on. So what the issue is that your grandmother is apparently trying to contact you, or she's in the reading.
Okay.
Okay. So she was the candy maker, and I felt something about your grandmother, and then what was presented in my vision was a box of candy. And actually, it came, according to my experience, and probably Kristen's too, of a place called See's Candy. I don't know if you've ever heard of it in Connecticut, but it's a famous candy. Mary C. was a famous candy maker. My grandmother actually knew it. And she made something. You can look it up on the internet. See's Candy. It's delicious candy. Okay.
It is quite good. Was your grandmother a maker of chocolates? Is that the kind of candy she made?
Yeah, she used to put the designs, dunk the chocolates and put the designs on them. So she knew what every chocolate was. And here's the connection. She stopped talking to her own son. My father.
Well,
and her other son. She had three sons, and she only talked to one.
Why, do you know why there was the break in the relationship?
When my father died, she was awful and screaming in the hospital that she wanted to know how long he had because she needed to book her flight back. Does that tell you anything about her?
Oh, so the grandmother is actually, you have fond memories of the candy, but the grandmother herself is more controversial in terms of.
As a young child, I adored her. She was my sun and my moon, and she moved away, and when my father was dying, she came back, and she was a horrible human being.
Huh.
The nurses at the hospital cried. They cried at the funeral home for what she did at the funeral home. She came up to me at my father's funeral, put her finger in my face, and told me he never loved me. I was 7 months pregnant. They took me out in an ambulance.
You have a lot of family
that suck.
Drama. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, So your grandmother's trying, your grandmother's apparently in trying to reach you. You know, when people pass over and they're in the soul, in the astral realm, they get the riot act. They see everything they did wrong. Their egos aren't typically involved, and they try to, they either come back or they get judged some way or something like that. Or in the meantime, they try to make restitution.
Before they return to the planet again,
yeah.
Generally.
And she's probably coming through saying, well, this is a cycle. This is, you know, in the genes of the family. I made a big mistake. Unfortunately, it's being carried over to you. I did some terrible things. And now you're experiencing the legacy of karma. So that's where that. Now, I'm going to ask you another question. When was the last time you had dental work or you had to have a cavity filled or anything with dentists?
I saw a dentist for a cleaning, but I haven't had a cavity in 4 or 5 years.
Okay,
but a dental, right? I don't get cavities, dental work.
But when was your last dental cleaning? Was it recent?
Probably 5 months ago.
Okay, so now I'm going over there from, well, candy and dentist.
You don't,
so,
Neil just had fillings.
You need to send your son a box of candy and a toothbrush.
Maybe include a box of dental floss.
Maybe throw in some toothpaste and say that's on the house.
Oh.
Okay. So what's happening is that I don't know what the hell is happening. What's happening is we've got.
We've
thanks
got,
for calling
yeah.
the show. Next caller.
We like it when people laugh at our jokes.
Yeah.
Good.
They laugh at our jokes and they throw up at our readings. We got your grandmother in. We've got something. Well, you know, candy and rotten teeth. Probably what she's saying is this is a situation that I caused, and it's gotten rotten. It's gotten bad. And so she's trying to help. Now, who's Robert in the picture?
Oh, my son and my father.
Okay, so she just told me Robert.
Robert is her son. Roberto is my son. I named him after my father.
That's close. I mean, Robert with an O.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah.
So she just said that to me. So I think she's active in the astral realm, and she's trying to... You know, she's not making excuses. She's on the other side, and she's saying, I did wrong. It's all messed up. And let's see in this brief moment if I can help some way. I think she's, you know, probably going through a lot of repair and lectures up there and all this kind of stuff. Oh, she said something about a broken down car. Who had a car that was always broken down or didn't operate? No, you don't know.
No.
Okay. No, don't worry. I may get things that you can't answer, but she might be sending the messages to me for some other reason. Because she's also talking about a plane flight or somebody was on a plane. Anybody with a pilot's license had a plane accident. Anyone with plane stories?
My brother took off and learned how to fly all on his own, and we found aerial photos of our house on the table, and that's how we knew. And his name is Robert, too.
Okay. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, you know, if nothing else, Lisa, you said, I want some kind of message of my life's in a mess. So far, we've got your grandmother. I think we can validate that by now. She's said too many things to us.
So just real quick, Lisa, back to your son. What was the reason for the division between the two of you?
He met a woman who has no family and no parents, and she just doesn't want us. It was her.
Boy.
Well.
And have you reached out to him at all in the 6 years?
I send gifts every holiday. I send cards. Anything I found in the house of his, I sent to him.
And he doesn't respond?
Excuse me?
He doesn't respond?
Nothing.
Okay.
I send it through my brother or through Amazon, so I have proof that, you know, I didn't send anything bad.
Here's a prediction. We're making a prediction, which isn't absolutely valid yet, but that you're going to be talking to him by this Halloween. Something's going to happen in Halloween, around Halloween time, October.
Right, which is his corresponds to his 10, which you weren't thinking of, obviously. But I have a question. Do you have the woman that he's with's birth date?
No.
You don't. What's interesting about Lisa?
No.
Go ahead. Lisa.
No, I only got to meet her for an hour and a half. She left my house happy, and then I never saw my son again. She left with recipes. She left with spices. She left with gifts. I told her to come anytime, and I never saw my son again.
Well, you forgot to give her a box of candy.
Yeah.
Should I really send him candy?
I mean, you could send your son a box of candy and see what happens. I don't know. I mean, I think the candy came in because of your grandmother. I'm trying to ask your grandmother what, there's something about, this is weird because Chris and I are totally against this, but there's something about bullfights. Mexico, bullfights. I mean, I know you said Roberto, but I mean, that could be Italian too. But there's something about Mexico and bullfights. Who's been to Mexico?
I think he maybe went there on his honeymoon. I don't know.
Anybody that was prone to hunting or hurting animals or that you know of? No.
My sister and her family, they're all terrible people.
Okay, so
I don't know.
So, you know, I mean, we're on a radio show. We're trying, gratefully, we contacted your grandmother. We have something going on here. She's trying to help. Your grandmother's actually trying to help. And no, she's wise to try to. I don't know if she has a choice. She's probably being scolded up there. But she's trying to help. And
I just wanted to comment real quick. Excuse me, my goodness. On the fact that their master numbers are in Lisa's month and day. So she's born in January, and Lisa, your fire number is the second number in your day of birth. So your master number is there, and it's a two is in the middle of it, which is, I mean, family is generally the first chakra, but second chakra is relationship. So a relationship is essentially coming between the two of you, and that's kind of coded in your month and day, 1/26, because the theme of relationships. But, you know, in terms of their connection and the birth dates, they've got 11s going on, the 22. If you align your son's day with your day, there's a 22 and a 5/6 up if you're looking at the numbers, you know, vertically. And 11 is the doubling of 22, and the 6/5 is an 11. So that signifies some problems in the relationship. So, whether this could have been avoided or not, I mean, it's probably some kind of destiny line in the relationship with him. But hopefully there can be some resolution, and there, you know, I just wish there was something we could have would prompt them to. Are you an artist? I can't remember.
No, I just love making things. I constantly am doing something creative.
So how's your life on
you are an artist on an amateur level?
Yes.
How is your, on 30 seconds, what's going on? Give us the 30-second version.
Going on with what? Bad marriage, very sick, lost my job 20 years ago because I'm too sick to work.
What,
starting to get better. Yeah. Barely.
What kind of sick do you have? What's your name?
I have autoimmune diseases, and science has caught up with me, and I'm getting better. I'm getting better, and I want to be able to work again.
You and your husband, the relationship deteriorating, or it has deteriorated?
It was never there. His mother hated me and treated me so poorly that she screamed through the whole wedding, and he turned his back on me in the bed that day, and he hasn't been near me in 28 years. And he acts like I'm just the help. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't touch me. He doesn't say my name. He doesn't kiss me. I get a brush of the lips sometimes.
Wow. And why are you staying in the marriage? What are your reasons?
I every time I went to leave, I ended up having... I had 6 surgeries the first time I was going to leave. The second time I was going to leave, I had 7 surgeries in 2 years. I'm not well enough to go out and work, and he knows it, and he holds that over my head.
And are you receiving any kind of disability or anything for your...
It's so tiny that I could never live on it. I was a barber, and I used to do haircuts for $5 and $7, and I got half of that. I made nothing when I was working. Now haircuts are a fortune. I could really live good if I could possibly work again.
So you're really stuck.
Yeah.
Well, she's in a cycle, the beginning of her cycle, which is a good time to, implement some kind of change. If there was something we could tell her to do.
I know. Right now, since your grandmother came in, she's on the other side, I probably, if I were you, would have a good heart-to-heart talk with her, at least dialogue. And you may not hear anything, but at least dialogue, talk to her, send her energy. I don't know what she can do on the other. I don't know why she's in the reading, in fact. I mean, maybe she's trying to help. But I don't know how much she can do. But because she came in, there must be a reason for that. And to get you out of your mess right now is not something that words are going to do. What about a red wagon or something to do with a wagon? I don't know if it's a toy wagon or the memory of a wagon.
I used to pull my son in a red wagon all over Germany. I lived in Germany with my ex-husband, and I used to pull him in a red wagon all over Germany. I walked everywhere.
What, were you a tinker?
No, I just had to go to town and go grocery shopping and everything. I didn't have a car, so I would walk miles to town with him in a red wagon and put the groceries in with him and go home.
Well, you know, Lisa, I mean, there's just too much going on here that's validating, you know, some specific things. And we could sit here all day long and your grandmother can send the messages, you know, until we fill a book. I'm trying to figure out. I think she wants you to talk to her.
No, don't apologize, Lisa. There's no reason to apologize.
I think she wants you to talk to her. I think what's mandatory right now is that you just have after the reading, sometime today, go into a private place and just talk to her. Pour your heart out. Just say whatever you want. She doesn't care what you say. Just talk to her. Maybe that will be energy she can take in. And then convert it into another kind of energy form and maybe help you out. I don't know. The only thing that she's telling me is that something's going to change this October.
Okay.
So last questions, and then we're going to get on to our topic. But how close do they live to you?
Oh, gosh, a mile.
A mile? Oh, my God.
Yep.
So you don't run into them in grocery stores?
Can you believe it? No, I can't believe it.
Well,
I want all these years.
It's a karmic block. I have a feeling it's going to change.
I don't know.
October.
I mean,
I don't know.
That's I mean, no, I hope so. But I mean, it's like you could knock on their door. I mean, maybe that's not a good idea, but.
No. My husband tried knocking on the door and he started screaming that he was going to call the police.
This son did?
Yeah, my husband ran down the driveway.
So that's
well, it sounds like your husband's kind of a comical character too. I don't know. I mean, you're gonna know what you got to do right now, Lisa. I'm going to tell you something you might not want to hear. Look at this with laughter. Right now, you have a lot of heaviness on you, and it you know, I hear you laughing, which is good. That's
yeah,
good.
That
you
you're
have laughter. You haven't
exactly.
lost that. I think you should laugh more. I mean. Not to limit or minimize
or
what's happening is about converting energy. And I, you know, when you talk, everything that comes out when you get away from laughter is, you know, there's a lot of, you're just a victim. It seems like you're just being screwed all over. So I'm trying to think of how to change that and use a little bit of your grandmother's energy. What about the name Dora?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. Dolores, anything with a D first. Doesn't matter.
Her last name was D'Amelio.
Oh, that's it. Are you guys Italian?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so she's coming through. She's happy that she made an appearance. She's happy that we picked up on her vibe. She's happy. She wants to help you, so you have to subtract the kind of person she was on the planet from where she is in her soul state that she's trying to help. She's sending enough validations that we're receiving so that her presence is now there. She's here. She wants you to talk to her. She's going to try to help you. I don't know how she's going to do it. Souls aren't angels. They don't have as much authority over doing things. They're kind of inadequate. They really, people think, oh, my grandfather's going to. Souls can't do that much.
They're not celestial beings that have that kind of connection.
But they do. Sometimes they're allowed to work in the astral realm and correct things they've done wrong through, like, the effort we're putting out. So she may be working through agents that she's going to try to help you, but she's promising to try to help you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we wish you luck, Lisa, and we'll work on this too for you.
Can I just say that picture of you with that little pixie haircut is magnificent?
Oh, thank you.
Gorgeous. You look like a movie star.
Oh,
yeah.
Past life.
Thank you so much, both of you. Thank you, Lisa.
Keep in touch with us.
Thank you so much. God bless you both.
Bless you too. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Yeah, luckily she doesn't have a camera in our house right now.
Yeah,
it's our morning look.
Yeah, we both are 300 pounds, and we live in a barn. What's our topic?
We're talking about bitter enemies, which is interesting, actually, that Lisa called, because, you know, I mean, I guess our topic's a little bit different in terms of what can happen between two enemies and someone, you know, killing one another because of some past life karmic issue. But I mean, with the girlfriend, she's got some problems.
Yeah, that's just the thing.
The wife of her son.
You know, bitter enemies. There's a ruler. There's a range, scale. You know, you can be bitter enemies and end up killing one another, or one kills the other, and that may be induced by karma itself, some kind of karma explanation. You can have bitter enemies that just people, maybe they get into a fist fight or a fight. There's no murder, but there's severe bodily injury, but nothing short of death. Then you can just have arguments where it's a knockdown cat fight. Then you can have arguments with verbal. Then you can have the kind of thing that Lisa's experiencing. And it's appropriate that our topic was bitter enemies, and she presented the theme to us. So you can have all kinds of energy fields in terms of bitter enemies.
And also how it manifests in the current life can be a diluted form of conflict that was previously much stronger in a past life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might have someone from a past life that killed you 10 lifetimes ago, and then it shows up as a conflict that's minor in the present life.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's linked throughout successive lifetimes where the energy just keeps repeating itself, or it gets watered down, or it bounces back and forth as to who's hurting who. So it gets almost like an epic novel. It's like, you know, Le Miserable is very much the theme of forgiveness when you've been done a wrong. That's a great book, Victor Hugo. No one's going to read it. It's over 600 pages unless you're attuned to literature. But that's it. In a nutshell.
Most people have seen the musical or the movie.
You could look at it that way too, but nothing compares to writing.
Of course
not. But that's another example of how two people battle one another throughout a lifetime. That one had to do with retribution and Christian love and all that. But the attitude of bitter enemies goes a long ways, and you have to be very careful about what you do in your world, your current world, because if you offend someone to where there's harm, bodily harm, psychological harm,
if there isn't some way to resolve that or to reduce the effects of it in one's lifetime, you could be susceptible to karma and return. And either the other person's going to return with you, or they're innocent and they're let go, so to speak, and you return yourself. But that karma is now affecting you because you're getting picked on all the time. So sometimes we explain the bitter enemy syndrome, that those who were once the enemy are now the victim. And it's a sorry state of affairs that can only be explained and understood through the depth of karmic analysis. Then you can accept it. Otherwise, you're going to say that's a bunch of bull and doesn't make any sense and that's ridiculous. But where our topic is karma, and our topic is the element and substance of being a bitter enemy through time and space in different lifetimes. Can that be evaluated through numbers? Yes, but we won't get into that because it's going to be
too revealing. Yeah, we were going to do that, but I mean, we do it to some extent on the show.
To some extent. So it's like we're, you know, skin diving, but we're not going to go into the great depths of what is locked in a birthday code that reveals the essence of karma and the essence of the nature of that karma. Because you can have good karma and you can have bad karma, and then you have all degrees of the severity of what karma can do. You know, for those who are, a lot of people that call our show, and a lot of people in life, are kind of based, they're not really shut-ins, but they're alone in the world. This woman's married. Just
Lisa,
children.
She's still listening.
But she's alone.
She's feeling isolated in her life.
There are those who are living out their lives, you know, at a solitary dinner table, breakfast table, solitary bed, solitary holidays.
This is depressing.
And they, you know, their bitter enemy is loneliness, is being estranged, not finding a connection. And yet sometimes the torture is that they long for something. They're not comfortably situated to be isolated. Some people are. They love their isolation.
Right. But also, I mean, with that in mind, certain individuals are going to be isolated because of a rift in a relationship in the family, or, you know, like Lisa.
Like Lisa.
So, I mean, bitter enemies not only applies to the loneliness in that case, but also whatever led to the loneliness in the first place.
You know, it's funny. I mean, we're just the carriers of the theme of talk shows on the radio, but they used to have Lonely Hearts shows and shows where you call it.
Like Love Lines or whatever, you know, on.
Yeah, in the lonely hours of the night, you'd call up, and then maybe they, you know, some soft voice would try to comfort you and play a song, and you talk about your troubles and things like that.
Obviously, more common in years past than today, because the internet's changed everything. You know, people aren't listening to the radio as much anymore.
Yeah, just internet. But when we, you know, but that the internet is another environment for strong bitter enemies. What they call it now, bullery.
That sounds like you're talking about bullfighting again.
Bullfighting.
Coming up.
Or whaling.
Second time in the show. But yeah, bullying.
I'll call my speech doctor and help me.
He's dead.
Yeah, thank goodness. But the idea that that there is a wherever we go, we can be bullied. I mean, we can have an upset day going to the grocery market and have somebody really be rude to us, and we don't understand
why. Like the numerous cashiers we deal with at our local markets.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not listening to the show. Not all of them, but there are several rude ones.
Yeah. I mean, you people carry energy in them, and sometimes the bitter enemy, believe it or not, well, of course, believe it, is oneself. You're in battle with yourself, and you're your own worst enemy. So what does that mean? Sometimes that means that in self-reflection, you're actually battling not just the psychological history that you've grown up in, but you're battling the depth of all of your past lives that are incorporated in your mindset, all those little tiny molecules, all those brain stems that are connecting to a deeper consciousness, to our higher brain. When we talk about our higher brain, watch out. Sometimes you reach the heights like Icarus. You go too high and you fall. You get too close to the sun and your feathers melt. So you have to be very careful. A lot of people that we've experienced in this realm of psychic energy, they seem to be bipolar. They're like way up and they're giving readings and then they just fall.
You mean people that claim to be readers, you're saying?
Well,
that
way,
and that
the,
we, right.
The evaluation is that's what they, that's their position, and they have these highs and lows. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, I was around lots of psychics, and a lot of them were like these, I remember as a little boy, they were like these heavy set, totally obese women.
How were you around a lot of psychics when you were young? I mean, just because there weren't that many psychics. I mean, like today, everybody's a psychic. I mean, look at all the shows on Blog Talk Radio where people are purporting to be psychics and giving readings.
Well, I don't know. You know, my grandfather was the psychic that I knew, that I grew up with. But there was an underworld of psychics that he knew that I remember going to homes and he would have coffee with them. He was a good man, but he didn't have any affairs or anything, but he'd have coffee with them. And they would do readings. They'd do card readings. They would rub my palm. They would, and I would even say to my grandfather, they seem really lonely. And he goes, oh yeah, they're very lonely. They're very lonely. And but the conversation didn't go any deeper than that. So I was left with my own evaluations that psychics can be very lonely people. And a lot of them, I remember my grandfather would talk to them after they messed around with me and talked with me and teased me. And they would start crying, and my grandfather would end up counseling them. So that, you know, it was funny because my grandfather was never a depressed man. He just was always kind of, I take after him a lot, kind of on a high energy that we may try to maintain. But you know, there was always some kind of problem they were having, always some kind of trouble. And it's funny because a lot of times when people call the radio shows, our radio show, there's always some kind of enemy, bitter problem, bitter situation going on. Sometimes it's circumstantial, sometimes it's with other people, and then sometimes it's a job or the environment or somebody's always doing something to somebody. And so we get into this idea. I know that in my experience, it was something I had to investigate. What is an enemy on a psychic level, not just on a physical level, but on the psychic level? And to what degree do we have these enemies? I was just discussing with Kristen that Phil Hartman, and this is, I'm not disclosing anything that's private, but we knew him when we were growing up and used to come to our house, Phil Hartman.
You and your brother.
My brother and I knew him.
Because you went to high school, your brother went to high school with him, Westchester High.
Westchester High, so he'd come to the house, and he was a really nice guy. And he would draw pictures of surfers, and he was kind of a surfing, he was a cartoonist, and he was really nice, and I remember he was really nice to me, and he laughed, and he was a really nice guy. And when you see him on the Saturday Night Live show and all the skits he did and the movies he did, you think, really, what a nice guy. And yet underneath that was this dark layer of karma where ultimately, as we all know, he was shot to death by his wife, who afterward committed suicide, and it was brutal. And then when we get into the idea that bitter enemies can come upon people who seem to be really good people, not to mention, Chris and I like to watch the murder shows and, you know, the innocent.
Well, it's
girl
very interesting to, you know, analyze them and get the birth dates and, you know, get into a deeper discussion about what's going on.
Yeah, that's what we do. We look at the birth dates and we analyze the energies.
When we can find them.
We're constantly doing that. And it reminds me that when, you know, my grandfather used to take me through the courts and watch the court sessions going on and have me try to be psychic about the people that were in trial. Now we're watching, we don't have to go to courts, we just watch it on TV. But the idea that, you know, oh, this innocent girl was abducted by a car, by a car abducted her.
And Herbie,
got on its
Herbie.
Own tires and ran away with her. She was abducted in a car. She was going to the grocery store. There was one that was recently who was an attendant at a pool spa or a pool club or something. And she was killed.
Oh, it wasn't recently. It was just something we watched recently. She was a college student, I think 19 years old, and she was murdered by a guy who approached her because he was attracted to her and wanted to date her. And then he ended up strangling her because she didn't respond to him in the way that he desired. I mean, she already had a boyfriend, but, he didn't like the fact that he was being burned.
My memory, I mean, he kissed her goodbye. He wanted to stay, and she said he don't need
the boyfriend.
To kiss her goodbye.
Right, but she had said, and the fact is she had a history there of feeling that she had been watched by workers mm-hmm. that were, you know, I guess hired by the pool company to maintain the pool or whatever.
Yeah. And then, you know, we were watching another one about...
God, we sound like we watch TV all the time.
We don't.
It's not, we don't, but...
We don't. But there was another one, the girl was being abused by her father.
I don't know which one you're talking about yet.
Well, he's a child molester, he's abusing, and we were watching that one about the molestation, later this guy was killed, there was a whole plot against him, but there's another example of bitter enemies. So, and now we have the situation that bitter enemies can be in families, and that's clean definition too. Sometimes our Cain and Abel symbols come in, or maybe Mabel and Mary. You know, it doesn't have to be man and man; it can be woman and woman. You have bad situations, bad energies that occur. The son that kills the entire family because he's psychotic. In a nutshell, it's a difficult world, and our theme is bitter enemies.
Well, then you get into the idea of a karma of location. So if you're born in a certain area, grow up in an area, and then have all these, continuous experiences with people that are negative and difficulty in a specific area, then you can tie that to, you know, something that happened probably there in a past life where there was some kind of offense, and you're coming back to that area and experiencing the karma that you created in that past life. And it can even, maybe one is not necessarily tied to specific people due to karma, but just the nature of that karma in that location can produce bitter enemies that aren't necessarily karmic. You may have not even been connected to some of these people in life, but that energy of karma is so strong that those people will respond to a given individual in such a way that is negative and creates more havoc.
Yeah, it's the bitter enemy, karmic bitter enemy syndrome is hard to avoid, because if it's going to be karma, you can't help it. You're going to have to experience it. Then you just pray to God that you get through it. Sometimes you can alter energy. If you're lucky, you can alter energy. So karma can somehow be altered within a lifetime. And sometimes that's through negotiation, friendship, or by accident. So it doesn't always have to be locked in. We don't necessarily ascribe to the idea that karma is fixed.
Well, but there is certain fixed karma, like the family that you're born into, where you're born. I mean, that's fixed. You can't change it. So there is the notion of fixed karma.
Well, I'm not talking about the birth.
Right.
Energy.
You're right.
We're talking about how the energy works out.
I know
life.
You are, but I wanted to be specific for the listeners, because
there
is such a thing as fixed karma in terms of the karma that someone may come in with regarding how they're going to be treated or encounters they might have with people that were past life enemies, so on and so forth. That can be altered possibly.
Yeah.
Depending on the density of the karma.
Because if you say karma is fixed and it's absolute, you have no deviations thereof. But if you state that karma can be fixed, can be fixed,
but also can be changeable.
And then often it changes. So we have, you know, and then we have karma between nations, like, you know, in Israel and the Arabs and the Palestinians. And
apparently the whole world has karma
Syria,
with Trump, right?
And, you know, even, yeah, in that regard as well. So right. it is, and in our nation, our own civil war, which, you know, from first we have the American Revolution and the British, and then we have the Civil War and our major wars within our country, not to mention the karma between minorities and the police force. And it just goes on and on. This is not anything spectacularly news. But if we look at it differently, and I for one feel that it might be advantageous to try to understand the depth of karma. And that means that you have to really study it hard, because you have to understand what the nature of karma is. And to understand the nature of karma, I mean, in my case, it took me back through history. So I read immensely and intensely about the history of the wars between not only nations and countries, but between people, and how that works out. Even if you, I went through a period where I was really interested in law and studying the law cases and how, you know, so-and-so versus so-and-so. There's karma. There's bitter enemies. And it takes it to a court environment where it's legitimized by laws and legalities, so it doesn't become outlandishly, you know, a lynch mob, but even though that does occur sometimes in law. But still, nonetheless, we're dealing with this vast topic of conflict, which I think our world moves along a historical route that has to do with conflict and how we respond to it, one individual to another, one nation to another, in terms of how we progress. Look at the missile race. The missile race is now starting up again. And there is a bitter enemy conflict that is now ridiculously misplaced, because it just leads us again to the nature of
annihilation,
nuclear war, and things like that. So, you know, when we get into this idea, and then we take up arms against one another, and we want to fight back. Not only, you know, a man walking into a church or a temple or some place of worship and shooting everybody or killing everybody, and there's nothing but these, you know, I hate the Muslims, I hate the Jews, and that's the rhetoric through which one excuses their actions so that they can actually kill somebody else that they really don't know. But here again, without being obscene, there's elements of karma in there. And it's a topic that it doesn't provide the total explanation for things, because sometimes it's just plain stupidity, bigotry, propaganda, whatever you might want to call it, or psychosis.
Right, but you're saying why someone might end up in a situation where they're a victim has sometimes, oftentimes, to do with karma.
Yeah.
Even though we want to, you know, I mean, people are innocent. You know, people are killed in a mass shooting. Obviously, they are innocent people in that mass shooting. But then when you start looking backwards, there might be a clue to why they ended up in that place.
Why they ended up. One of the hardest things to analyze and accept is a missile hitting a village and a child is killed. I mean, what? You're trying to figure out, we mourn the dead.
Right, and why are people born in war-torn countries, you know, versus more peaceful places? I mean, you know, there's violence everywhere, of course, but, you know, if you live somewhere like Israel or, you know, Africa, where there's civil wars and things like that. It's different than being in the United States in the present day, even though there's violence in the United States.
Right.
There's more of a,
You know, and it, I mean, I don't want our show to be based on all this negative energy, but the topic at large is bitter enemies. Even if you live in, like, even if you have a pastoral environment and you live in beauty behind closed walls and it's nothing but trees and birds singing and mansions and fountains and so idyllic in nature, but then again, you can be invaded.
So
there's always the invasion. I mean, even in Vienna with the Jews and the royalty and everything, you can be displaced. You can be invaded. You can be thrown into a camp. The idea of peace on earth is not a reality. Mm. Let's face it. We try to establish it in the best way we can, because that's our hope and glory as human beings, that we strive towards peace and harmony. But it's always going to be a battle. It's always going to be a battle as long as this planet is alive with people.
Well, I know we said we weren't going to do this, but real quick, I just wanted to, we can lightly get into a little birth date issue, because you mentioned Phil Hartman and his wife. So I just want to give you the birth dates, Neil. 9/24/48 was Phil Hartman's. 9/24/48, and she was born on 4/11/1958. So, you know, he was compounded, so was she, 37/10/1. She's a 29/11/2. 11 is in her month. Her karmic number, you know, is his first two numbers. There's a lot of stuff going on with their birth dates. You know, when you get into the intricacies about how two people connect and how, you know, they are joined together in the current incarnation, and how, I mean, this really affected me when this happened. I mean, you know, not, you know, some things happen to famous people and it's like, you know, water off a duck's back. But I really liked Phil Hartman. I thought he was really funny. And so it was a real tragedy.
He really was shocking. A gentle person, and from my memory growing up, he was just that kind of a person. The idea that too, you brought up the birth dates. That's what our book that we're working on for so many years is involved in the deep hidden codes of what a birth date is. I mean, in our book, we're trying to expand on the nature of numbers, that a birth date is not really a birth date. That's just page one. A birth date is a code, the numbers of which have been arranged in such a way that they are fed through by past lives and karma and energies and things like that.
Which makes the numbers in a birth date completely unique to that individual. So it's not about generalizing according to, you know, nine numbers that exist. Every number is going to have its own specific vibration in a person's birthday because of their unique imprint on that number.
Yeah. And we speak in code every day. You know, we don't realize just how much numbers mean to us. Oh, that would be $9 as opposed to E equals MC square. As opposed to, oh, I live on 7419. The numbers lead always to something. There's always some kind of treasure hunt, some kind of obstacle course, some kind of destination. So numbers reveal energies, and they're based upon energies, and we convert them to numbers. So when you have just a certain date, you know, and then they say, well, what happened in that date and time? They occur with events. What comes first, the chicken or the egg, the number or the event? And to what extent, what gave us the premise that numbers were going to be symbolized as energies through which we could measure, date, scale, life?
Quantify.
So, I only know this from when I was 4 or 5, and my grandfather just pounding in my head, you've got to learn numbers. And I was opposed to arithmetic. I didn't like it. but he taught me that numbers were breathing. And then when my third eye was developed and I began to see numbers in my third eye transform into energies, then I began to think that numbers are living energies. And I could see that out of numbers came images, and that from images came events, and from events came factual energy that was delivered back to whatever this person, me, was seeing in terms of the numbers. So I look at numbers and they actually transform into images. So in that regard, it ultimately evolved into codes, which Chris and I are deeply working on and devoting our lives to, in terms of hopefully producing a book that...
Hopefully? What? God, I'm going to choke you.
Yeah.
Hopefully?
Yeah. Well, it's a good word. But fully. It's the fullness of hope. That way.
Well, we have that for this book. And we are out of time and back on the air on Friday. So please join us then. Bye.